Blog Talk Radio. If you're 50 or older or have a family history of colon cancer, get screened. Screening for Life makes it possible for those who are uninsured or underinsured to get a free screening. Click the banner to find out if you're eligible. This message is brought to you by the Delaware Division of Public Health.
How to reach the masses, men of every birth, form, and accent. Jesus gave the key.
Welcome to WGUM. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott and Benny Cummings, and shortly after we'll hear a few words from Pastor Benjamin, who's graciously allowed me to deliver today's message. Pastor, your line is open.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and what we're going to do, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. All praise is to our God, and every purpose with one accord, every praise is to our God. I am so grateful. I am excited. I had two dear friends of a long age. They were both in the hospital. And my God, I tell you, one at the point of death, but God has brought her back. I spoke with her. I hadn't spoken with her since September because she was ill in that hospital. But God has raised her up. Jesus is the reason for the season. This is the month of December. And the carol says, oh, come, let us adore him. Jesus Christ, the Lord. We've got to learn how to keep Christmas in our heart all year long. Christmas is spelled C-H-R-I-S-T. That's Christ. As Christ is the master. Christmas, that's what it's all about. Not happy holiday. It is merry, merry, merry Christmas. All down in your being, the fiber of your very being. Jesus is the reason. Oh, I hear the song say, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. How about you? Is that your testimony on this morning? Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Or are you of a sad countenance and saying, well, God has never done nothing for me. I ain't all that fond of Jesus. What does he do for anybody? Tragedies come. I've lost loved ones. I've lost my money and can't find it. Jesus should have told me where it is by now. Jesus know that I threw it out and he won't let me know. But however, he is still worthy of the praise. And both of these pastors and a bishop, they are coming out of rehab and the hospital on the 6th and the 7th of December. It's been an uphill battle, but I tell you, one of the pastors, Pastor Marva, said to me on yesterday, I said, Pastor, prayers have been going up for you around the clock and around this globe. Everyone I knew, I asked to pray for you. She said, I felt the prayer of Dr. Scott. I saw, taste, and see that the Lord is good, and he's good. Dr. Scott, I have had my say. I will turn this mic back into your hands, and you will do as the Spirit of the Lord is leading you. But this is the month of December. We will be celebrating Jesus Christ Superstar, the one and only true living God. Anybody else is a thief and a robber. And the devil, yes, the devil, I said the devil, he knows how to disguise himself to make us think that he is the Lord. But Jesus fixed that. He said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. They will not obey the voice of the devil when he tells you all kind of malicious lies and ugly things that he will tell you. He'll even tell you, commit suicide. Go ahead on and kill yourself. This is the month, I believe, that is stated for the highest rate of suicide. Isn't that something? They choose to kill themselves when Jesus brought joy to the world. If you don't have any joy, the Bible declares that he that had no joy, leap for joy. In other words, do something to make yourself joyful. Do something to make yourself happy. Call upon the name of Jesus, and he will come in, and he will give you joy unspeakable. He will give you joy unspeakable. Oh, my God, he'll give you joy for your sorrow, hope for tomorrow. Oh, my God, that's what I like. I like about Christ. I am excited about Jesus. Woo! He's the best thing that ever happened to me. Oh, praise God. A great big shout out to Jesus for his mighty, mighty works, his goodness, and his, look at here, the scripture says, his loving kindness. Dr. Scott, I'm on your time. The loving kindness. Loving kindness. That's who Jesus, yes, trouble's coming our way because the devil is still here. He's doing his job. But the Lord let me know a long time ago, even though the devil is working against me, that Jesus Christ is working for me. Because if Jesus wasn't working for me, the enemy would destroy me. He would have killed me a long time ago. But Jesus was in the midst, just like he was with the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. They looked in there and said, hold it, old king. Oh, my God, I feel Jesus in this place. Hold up here. There's something strange about this fire that we see. It's a real fire burning. But we put three in the fire. But we see a fourth one. And that fourth one looked like the Son of God. My God in heaven. So even though the devil was working to destroy them, Jesus didn't stop them from going in the fire. No. That would not have been a miracle. But he got in the fire with them and took the heat and the burn away from them. Not even a hair was singed on their head. So let the devil act a fool if he chooses. But you need to focus on, Lord, I'm going in the fire, but I'm not going without you to take care of me. Ah, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you for this. Again, I say, rejoice. Oh, my God. Rejoice. 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 Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Benjamin. Pastor Benjamin tells me a story that when she was a very young girl in the church, that they asked the young people to speak about their love for God. And after that happened, somebody said to her, boy, the person that came after you sure had a hard time. I can definitely relate, but you know what? God is good, and God gives us all the power and all the love. And there's no such thing as hearing too much about God's mighty work in our lives. And I want to thank Pastor Bennett for telling some of the stories that come from her experience with other leaders who are suffering. And they're in their suffering like Job, or blessing God's name, and won't let anybody turn them around. Now, what we're going to do right now, she has me doing three jobs. I'm the host, I'm working the board, and also, today, dear friends, I'm being honored to speak from the pulpit of Glory United Ministries, where you have heard so many pastors, so many great prophets, and have heard our own prophet, Pastor Benjamin, speaking at least five times. Now, I want to tell you, I come to this point having led religious groups, five types of religious groups, and my ministry is universal. So periodically, as I deliver my ministry, you will hear me perhaps use terms that you aren't familiar with, because I want the Christians to be able to say, I know you're a Buddhist, man. I know you believe this. But let me tell you about Jesus. I know you're an Ekist, and I know you believe this. Let me tell you about Jesus. I know you're Jehovah's Witness. You think you know about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. So I am a bishop of Universal Ministries, and I'm talking to you today from the apostolic seat of the Universal Ministry. Amen. Now, before I deliver that message, what I want to do is share with you a prayer of healing. A prayer of healing. If you open to it, God will heal you. You got to believe that. Know that God will heal you, because God has the power. He may not do it in your time, but God is on time, and he's always on time. Do you hear me? Say to yourself, God is on time, and God is always on time. If you sit next to somebody, grab their hand and say, God is on time. God is always on time. Heavenly Father, we are here with you in this moment, asking you to heal and bless all with the sound of my voice and all the relay. Lord, we're asking you to rain down on us that healing, anointing, that blessing. Cover us, Lord. Soak us with it. Bring it through our bodies. Wash us. Wash all the sin and dirt away. Lord, clear away what the non-Christians call karma. Clear away anything from the past. Make us pure and white as snow so that we may serve you better and more. Lord, we ask that you go into our hearts and remove from them all vestiges of anger, of hurt, of dismay, of suicidal tendencies. And Lord, fill us with joy. Open our hearts, Lord. Let Jesus come into our hearts. Let us glow and surge with the love and power that you have given us and given me to share. Lord, I ask that from this seat where I am, that all the love and blessings that Jesus has given me, that those blessings now be shared with others. And Lord, I ask that you bypass even that and flood them with your kindness and your mercy. Make them happy, joy, Lord, so that they can know what it feels like and take responsibility for their own joy and happiness. We know this is the month that we celebrate Jesus' birthday, but Lord, we know that every day is the day to celebrate Jesus' birthday. These blessings, these healings, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I begin my sermon, what I want to do is let you hear this song.
I'm calling your name because I need you
right now, Lord.
I'm calling your name because I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes
I
get
now,
tired, and sometimes I get weak. That's why I'm calling
your name,
cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm calling your name, cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm calling your name, Lord, cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes I get tired, and sometimes I get weak. That's why I'm calling
your
name. Yeah, cause I need you
right now, Lord.
I'm praying this prayer right now, cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm praying this prayer right now, cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes I wake it hard, and sometimes I yeah, no, that's why I'm calling
your name.
Yeah, cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Sing of this song right now, cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Lord, I'm singing this song right now, cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Oh, sometimes I get tired, sometimes I get weak.
I'm calling your name, and let's get started. I want to start by asking you the following question. What are your spiritual goals? What is it that you want to accomplish in God's kingdom? Now, let me recast that. What is your spiritual ambition? Do you look at God like God's a lottery machine where you put in your request and God is supposed to respond? Where you pull the lever, God's lever, with a prayer, and God is supposed to just go ching, 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 and give you what you want? You got it backwards, friends. It's not what is your ambition for God. It's what's God's ambition for you. Now, right now, like Pastor Miniman almost always says, come in. She comes in with a plan in terms of the message she's going to have, and God leads her in a different direction. I am going in a different direction than what I planned, and I have pages and pages of notes and scripture here, and God has taken me someplace else. It's not what your spiritual ambition is. It's what God's ambition is for you. Now, just say to yourself, have I accepted God's ambition for me? Do I even know what God's ambition is for me? Well, let me refresh your minds, friends. At one level, God's ambition for you is for you to be able to enter his kingdom, to enter the kingdom of God. And you know, by doing that, in order to do that, you have to accept Jesus as your Savior. Have to accept and allow him to forgive your sins and also commit yourself to living as much as you possibly can, a sin-free life. So your spiritual ambition, let me define for you what ambition is. A strong desire to do or to achieve something, typically requiring determination and hard work. So God's ambition for you requires you to have a strong desire to achieve the kingdom of heaven. And you know you're going to do that with constant prayer, keeping God's name on your lips, keeping Jesus' name on your lips, and focusing your attention on God. Now, some people will say to you, what is it you want to be? What's your great goal in life? And you're at a point in your life now, friends, where you can say, my goal is to serve my Lord, however the Lord chooses to use me. Because the Lord invested me with skills, ability, and knowledge. And I'm going to put those to work. I've got to do that. Need to get paid. Need to get a job. Need to eat. Can't sit at home. Just say, God, feed me now. Feed me now. No, no, no. You got to do the work, but you got to do it from God's viewpoint. You got to fill every square inch of your life with God. So this is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in. And you're the person that God has made, and you need to and are rejoicing because God is glad for you. Now, I had a title on today's talk and tell me what I wanted to bring you. The title would be Roll or Throw the Stone.
And your pal Janet is attacking.
In your mouth. Roll or throw the stone. Now, right now you're going to say, well, what stone are you talking about? What stone are you talking about? I'm talking about four stones. I'm talking about the stone that was on Lazarus' tomb. I'm talking about the stone that David used to kill Goliath. I'm talking about the stone on Jesus' tomb. Now, you probably know each of these stories better than I do. You know, Lazarus was sick and he died. And Jesus came and told Mary and Martha, let's just roll the stone away. And they say, well, wait a minute, Jesus, he's been dead 4 days. Roll the stone. Repeat after me. I want you guys, you to say it. Roll the stone. And Jesus rolled the stone and said, Lazarus, come on out. He probably said, if he was in contemporary time, he said, come on out, baby. You know you okay. Take the napkins off his face. And people marveled at the healing. The second stone, again, you can probably tell the story better than I can tell you. The third stone was one of several that David had in a bag when he went out to meet Goliath. And Goliath said, you look, you know what? Goliath was nearly 10 feet tall. Do you know how 10 feet is? Just take a moment to look at your door sill. and then look up at the ceiling. 10 feet is about as tall as your ceiling. Now, you know, that was one big dude, tall, and he was carrying a shield that weighed about 45 pounds. And David came out, and he said, look here, little man, you better go home to your mama, because I'm definitely going to take care of you. And David said to him, I come here with the power of the Lord. And David said to him, and not only am I going to kill you, I'm going to cut off your head. Goliath said, well, bring it on, little man. And David did. And David did. And he took his head. The next stone, of course, is a stone that was on Jesus' tomb. Now, nobody was there when it got rolled away. But Mary and Martha went down there and saw that, went into the tomb and saw that David, not only was Jesus gone, but that the cloth they had on him was there neatly folded. So Jesus was the kind of guy that when he got out of his bed, he would fold up the covers. He would make the bed. So, of course, he went out in his robe. But then he folded the linen and put it neatly there on the bed. And Mary turned, and there was a guy she thought was a worker. And she said to him, could you tell me what you did with the body? And Jesus said, the equivalent of, Mom, it's me. It's me. I'm here. And they went back and told a couple of disciples. They went down and said, yeah, he's not here. And, of course, then they said, well, we really don't know where he is, but he ain't here. Now, those stories are very powerful. And the last set of stones I want to mention are the stones that are in your life. So what I want you to do is know that as we go through this sermon together, as we go through this speech together, go through this talk, you're going to feel these stones be removed from you so that you then are bulletproof and protected. And unlike Goliath, none of those stones will hurt you or affect you anymore. Because we're going to make sure that you're free of those stones as this talk proceeds. Now, let's go back to the story about Lazarus. Let's go back to Lazarus. Now, I don't know if you know all the details, but they are fascinating. Jesus was in the house when Lazarus got sick. And the disciples kept saying to him, well, you know, your man, they were close. Jesus loved Lazarus, and he loved Mary and Martha. They were very close. Whenever Jesus was in their town or in their village or in their area, that's where he would stay. They treated him well, and they were friends. So Lazarus was getting sick. Now, Jesus was there with his healing abilities and did not heal Lazarus. And the disciples say to him, well, why don't you go and heal him? And Jesus said, well, he's sick, but he's just asleep. And then they said at one point, said, well, you know, he might die. Jesus said, well, if he dies, then I'll bring him back. So Jesus took the disciples and said, well, let's go into Jerusalem. Now, he went into Jerusalem and then said to the disciples, now, let's go back there. Now, what you may not know is there were people who wanted to capture and kill Jesus in that town of Berea. But Jesus said, no, let's go back. And he had escaped before, and now he went back. So he goes back. Now, it's like 4 days after Lazarus finally died. It's not a sense, as Bishop Blake says, one day was not enough. 2 days was not enough. 3 days was not enough. 4 days. And Jesus told the disciples that I have taken this time and let Lazarus die so that you could see the miracle and see the power that God has vested me with so you will believe. So Jesus let Lazarus die. so the disciples would believe and understand who Jesus really was. Now, that's what I want to ask you. Now, if you had been there and Lazarus had come out after being dead for 4 days, would you believe in Jesus at that point? Would you know that Jesus was truly the Son of God? Now, I want to take a moment right now to pause and explain to you the difference between belief, knowledge, and knowing. Now, let's stay with it. What belief simply is, which is okay, it is an acceptance of the likelihood and the possibility. That's what belief is. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but belief has to extend beyond simply knowledge. Many people who say they believe, but it means they believe that the words are on the page, and they believe that the person who wrote it really thought it was true. But what many folks do with belief, they don't have it in their heart. It's only in their minds. They just have the words. And their heart, however, their hearts are untouched. In Jesus' time, what belief meant was knowing. Knowing, like if I ask you right now, are you sitting in that chair, are you standing up? If you're standing up, you'd say, I know I'm standing. And you say, well, why? Because my legs are straight, I can look, and I look around me, and I know the relationship to everything is, this is where I am. Same thing if you're sitting. You know it. You're what? Not only are you convinced, which means that you're relating to something outside, which is like belief, you are certain, beyond a doubt. There's no doubt in your heart. Now let's go to that third stone, the one that was rolled away. Now Jesus had told the disciples several times that he was going to be captured and crucified, tortured and crucified, and would die and would rise the third day. In fact, the disciples were present when Jesus brought Lazarus out of the tomb, and he explained to them that I did this so you would know my power. And he also told them that it took Lazarus 4 days and I will arise in three. The disciples didn't get it. The disciples didn't get it. So when Mary Martha went down there and Peter went back with them and saw the tomb was empty, the disciples' thought was, well, I wonder where they put Jesus. Even though the angels had told Mary and Martha that he had risen. And guess what the disciples did? I want you to understand this, because the emphasis most of the time that you hear this story is on Jesus' appearing. The disciples are scared. They were terrified. They were fearful. And they hid in a room. Doors locked. Windows are locked. You can't get in. And most people who talk about this story emphasize the fact that Jesus appeared to them. The emphasis on the story needs to be that the disciples didn't believe Jesus. They didn't really know him. And Jesus even spent the rest of his time trying to convince them not only who he was, but what he needed them to do. Now listen to this. There were at least 37 categories of miracles. The only miracle the disciples didn't witness was Jesus turning water into wine. Now Jesus healed an official son. He had filled a centurion's son. And I want you to repeat after me. They didn't believe him, but I believe him. Jesus heals many sick and oppressed at an evening, at an evening program, a meeting he did. The disciples didn't believe him, but I believe him. He helped Peter perform a miraculous catch of fish at the lake of Gennesaret. The disciples saw it. They didn't believe it, but I believe him. Jesus cleansed a man with leprosy. They saw it. They didn't believe it, but I believe it. Jesus healed people with paralysis. Healed a withered man's withered hand on the Sabbath. How about when Jesus was taking a nap on a boat going across a large lake, which they called a sea at that time. How about that? Jesus down there taking a nap. And a storm hits, and disciples get scared to death, and they go down and wake Jesus up and say, our boat is getting ready to sink. We don't know what's going on here. And Jesus goes up and just says, essentially to the storm, could you just cool it, please? I'm taking a nap. And the storm goes away. And the disciples saw that. And let's go on and on. How about when Jesus cast the demons into a herd of pigs? Remember that one. Healed an individual of diamonds. I mean, I have two pages here of Jesus' miracles. Two pages. And there are many miracles, according to John, that were not even reported. And these were just given as examples. Now, disciples are present for all that. They're present for all that. But they really didn't get it. Even though Peter recognized and told Jesus that he believed that he was the Son of the Living God. And they denied him three times. Come on here. What's this all about? They believed him, but they didn't really know him. They didn't have him in his hearts. And even they had a centurion came to Jesus and said, Tim, I have a servant home is sick, and I'm wondering if you will heal him. And Jesus said, well, let me go back to your house. And the centurion said, my house is not worthy of your coming to it. I just know that when I have a servant and I tell him to do something, he'll do it. And if I have someone else that works for me and I tell him to do something, he'll do it. And I know that if you say that my servant will be healed, I know it will be done. And Jesus said, essentially, there's no one in all of Israel whose belief is that strong. And as soon as Jesus said it, he was healed. Now, the disciples were there. They knew it. And yet they were afraid. Now, you know what they probably should have done? Bishop Blake tells a nice story. Because of what they had seen and what they thought they knew, that once Jesus was in the tomb, they should have gone around and organized crowds of 50,000 people. People come and say, why are you here? Well, I'm here because I know Jesus is going to be out in 3 days, and I want to see this, you know. They should have gone around and just organized all groups of people, and people had been following Jesus around. But no, the disciples were hiding fearful. And then when Jesus appeared to them, they got scared, thinking he was a ghost. And Jesus had to say to them, look, I am flesh and bone. And by the way, do you have anything to eat? I haven't had anything to eat for 3 days. Think about that. And then, of course, you had Thomas come over, and he had to feel the wound. So look at my hands, look at my feet. They still didn't believe Jesus. And Jesus says it at one point. He says, you have been with me all this time, and your belief is so weak. And yet there are many people who have not even seen me, who believe in me. Doesn't it almost make you bring tears to your eyes that Jesus came on the planet, gave his life, allowed himself to be tortured, and then rose from the dead, and the disciples did not get it. They did not get it. So what I want you to do, what I want you to do at this point is take yourself away from any levels of disbelief, uncertainty, of feeling unworthy, of feeling that God doesn't love you. What I want you to do right now is you can close your eyes, keep them open, and say, because it's true, God, I know you love me. Thank you for allowing your son to come into my life. Now, Lord, I ask you to know that my heart is open. And, Lord, I ask you to allow, and I permit Jesus to fill me in this moment with his wonder and his wonderness. Lord, I ask that that I be anointed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I ask that I be drenched in Holy Spirit at this moment. Because, Lord, the disciples may not have believed. They may not have accepted. They may not have known Jesus. But, Lord, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. Say that to yourself right now. Turn to your partner next to you. If you're by yourself, say to yourself, I know Jesus. Jesus is in my heart. Jesus, there's something about the name of Jesus that just lifts us up. As a matter of fact, at this point, what I'm going to do is ask the person who is operating the board right now to see if he can find the song that says something is the name of Jesus. This is Daryl Cole. Yes, there's no place I'd rather be than in the arms of Jesus. I'd like to express my appreciation to Pastor Patricia Billman for allowing me to share the pulpit with her. It is truly an honor. She has been an inspiration to me. I have had an opportunity to hear her share her message now for, I guess, a little over 5 years. And many times she said, Dr. Scott, I'd like for you to bring the message this morning. And God woke me up 3 days ago, and said, it's time for you, my son, to bring forth my message to the world. Amen. Pastor Benman, I've opened your line.
Amen. We praise God for his goodness. And again, I say we praise him for his loving kindness. And it's really a beautiful story that when you tell it in the manner of a story, how the stones in our lives need to be rolled away. Jesus can roll away the stones for us to see. I believe in Hebrews, and I'm not going to preach behind the preacher. That's one thing that we have a bad habit of, particularly those of us that are Kojic. We will preach behind the preacher, but I'm going to let the word stand for itself. But I will say this much, in Hebrews gospel, it let us know that they were standing and they began to say, but we see Jesus. And the reason why we cannot see Jesus today is because of the stones that's in our way. Dr. Scott, I appreciate you. I love you. I applaud you. I tell you, angel of the house, to God be the glory. I listen attentively so that not to be a critic, but so that I could glean from you, because as Pastor Wade, Apostle Wade, always says, that iron sharpens iron. So I was looking to see where we could sharpen our blades on this morning. So I did like one of the old missionaries in my childhood growing up. She said, when the word of God is going forward, get out your rake, your spiritual rake, so that you can rake in the word of God to yourself. And I thank you. I got my spiritual rake out. I got sharpened this morning. Don't be surprised if I take a portion of your sermon and run with it. That's what we do, you know. Some people have stolen so many sermons from me, and they never mentioned that they got it from me. But it's all good. But I gleaned a lot. My bucket is running over. My rake has worked overtime this morning. And I just thank you for being obedient to the word of God. I know that I wasn't in this ministry totally by myself, just for you to be the cameraman, the radio man, the computer guy, or the songster that gets the songs ready for me and whatever. I knew that in order for us to make it on this journey, two has to walk together in agreement. And I thank God for the move. I tell you, I hear my man singing, hold on, a change is coming. And that's Norman Hutchins. I can feel it in the air. I can feel it in the atmosphere. I congratulate you, Dr. Scott, to your elevation of on Christ, the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is, all other ground is, I emphasize that, all other ground is sinking sand. So if you're not standing on Christ, you know, Dr. Scott, let me add to your sermon one more thing and I won't get out of your way. And I wish while I'm talking you could find, oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. The stones had to be rolled away, and then there was a stone that was used to kill the giant. Well, that stone got him out of the way. Oh, blessed name. God got some stones for some of the giant. Oh, I don't want to preach this, but God got some stones for some of the giants that's in our lives. And it looked like we can't subdue them, but the stone in our hand, which is the power of the Holy Ghost, that will take care of these giants. Woo! I'm excited in our lives. But, you know, Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church. So we thank God for the stones and the rocks that we can build this ministry upon. I'm so excited. Oh. Thank you for the word on today. Thank you. I can recall over 5 years ago when I brought my message, and I said, how did I do it? You said, girl, you rock. So I go right back at you. Dr. Scott, you rock. And I'm proud of you. And I just let me get off here, because I'm just bubbling. It's a bubbling in my soul. I sing it. I shout it. I know it. It's a bubbling in my soul. God bless you, listeners. Those of you that enjoy going in the archives and pulling up Glory United Ministries sermons, and you listen, and I know you glean from them as well, because not one person knows everything. So I can say something that will help you, and you can say something that will help you and you and you and you. But Glory United Ministries needs your help. Every now and then, if you would just drop a few pennies in the mail for Glory United Ministries, we would appreciate it. Dr. Scott will give you the address. And if you want to do it by phone, use your credit card, we can do that too. And immediately, the money will be released from your account. And guess what? Your credit card number will disappear. We will not keep your number on file. Once transaction is made, we don't have recollection of your number anymore. We are true Christians. We steal not from the people of God. Okay, God bless you. This is our prayer for you. Ah, Jesus is the reason for the season. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen.
Pastor, thank you for those words. I want you to know that I spoke to the man on the board, and he searched his inventory, and for reasons not clear to him, he's not able to find the song that you requested. Is it known by any other name?
Well, you have it in the loop. I don't know, but we sing, oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. So maybe it's Christ the Lord. I don't think it's, oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Oh, come, ye, oh, come, ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, Lord, the King of Heaven. But it's a new version of it that we sing, and it says, oh, come and let us, I'll sing it myself, adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Look under Mariah Carey. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. Amen.
Under Moriah, I have silent night.
Oh, bless the Lord. Well, we do have it in the loo, and for whatever reason, we'll have it ready for next week. Because this is the Christmas season, and we always play our Christmas carols for the saints of God. And it's always good to remind the people that he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. I thank him for the miracle that he has given the two pastors that the enemy seemed like had the upper hand on them. But God removed the stone out of their way so that they could come on out and bless his name. I'm excited about their testimony. I've got to get Pastor Henry on for the Christmas service. I tell you, she's got to work that Christmas service for me and be a blessing to the people with the testimony about Jesus, not about the man in the mirror, not about Donald Trump, not about Al Sharpton, but about Jesus. And I thank God, Dr. Scott, for you praying for her so much so that she said she felt your prayer. My God. And I wasn't offended at all because I know I prayed for her. But your prayer came into her loins and began to minister to her while she laid in a coma, so to speak. So to God be the glory. You're needed in the kingdom of God. No, you don't sound like me. And the prophet, my nephew, told you that. But you were needed for these last days, these last hours. And I hope whoever goes into the archive will be blessed with these words that came from on high. I'm an excitable person. I get excited. You know, it's like a rain that waters the earth, and it just sinks in and soaks up, and the earth is excited over the drink that comes from it. So we thank you again, Dr. Scott, for that word. I'm glad that you have stepped out. Oh, bless his name. Wow, I'm a woman on divine assignment, but I guess I have to add a woman on divine assignment with the man who accompanies her with the same assignment. Oh, bless his name. All right. We love you with the love of the Lord, for I see in you the glory of our King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you in Radio Land. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will be back next Sunday, right up until Christmas. We will be on the air on the 24th, which is the fourth Sunday, but we're taking the 10th and the 17th, and we'll close out in the evening of the 24th of December. We will come on at 7 p.m. featuring Pastor Marva Henry. Oh, my God. That's Christmas Eve, so the stores usually close around 6, between 6 and 8. But we're going to let all our listeners know that we're on Sunday, the 24th of December, Christmas Eve. In fact, I think I'm going to make it an 8 o'clock service instead of 7. And that'll give some people time to get home. Oh, bless his name. Dr. Scott? It's in your hand.
Thank you for listening.
If you're 50 or older or have a family history of colon cancer, get screened. Screening for Life makes it possible for those who are uninsured or underinsured to get a free screening. Click the banner to find out if you're eligible. This message is brought to you by the Delaware Division of Public Health.
Ready, set, holiday! With Dunkin' Donuts Holiday Coffees, get your holiday spirits soaring like Rudolph with a peppermint mocha latte or a brown sugar cinnamon iced macchiato. These extra special holiday flavors are a cup of cheer during the busy season. From finding and wrapping that perfect gift to setting up the decorations, try a special holiday coffee today and set your mood to merry. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.